Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Blue text on a white background reads, Motion Picture Corporation of America. Text reads, a Netflix original film. An aerial view of New York City at dusk. Central Park is blanketed in a layer of snow. Title reads, Christmas Inheritance. An ice rink is peppered with skaters slowly rotating in a circle. Skyscrapers float like beacons in the night sky, and the multicolored glow of Times Square emanates between buildings from the streets below. A large crowd of pedestrians stands underneath the flashing glow of neon signs and TV screens. Another ice rink surrounded by a crowd of onlookers. A large Christmas tree stands before them, with thousands of colored Christmas lights. At street level, the crowd revels under the glow of the tree, smiling and taking pictures. A taxi pulls up to a building with a lit sign reading, Toys for Tots Gala. Inside, a band plays to a group of formally dressed invitees. Several guests share a toast with glasses of champagne. A woman dressed in a regal red dress stands in front of a podium on stage. She adjusts the microphone and looks out at the crowd anxiously before looking down at her wristwatch. She searches the crowd of partygoers. Behind a screen features the Toys for Tots train logo and another logo that reads Home and Hearth Gifts Incorporated. She leaves the stage and wanders amongst the guests. She smiles and approaches a couple.
Hello. Have you seen Miss Langford? No. I'm looking for Miss Langford. Have you seen her?
No, sorry.
Hi! I'm Miss Langford.
Sorry.
She spots a young man and eagerly approaches.
Mr. Pittman. Excuse me, Mr. Pittman.
Yeah, just give me one second.
I'm Mrs. Worthington, chair of the Toys for Tots Committee.
Yeah, just let me finish this up here.
Miss Langford is representing the Home and Hearth Gifts Company at this event, is she not?
She certainly is. Almost done here.
Well, she was supposed to do her presentation 20 minutes ago. I can't find her anywhere.
Yes! Now that's how we close. I'm sorry. What was it you wanted?
Mr. Pittman, where is your fiancé?
The young woman slams a pair of silver sequined heels onto a counter and walks barefoot in front of a crowd of onlookers. She stops, then sprints forward and performs several cartwheels, and lands with a dramatic flourish of her arms.
All right! 10 out of 10 from the Russian judge.
Thank you. Thank you. Years of gymnastics, not easily forgotten. Oh!
The young woman downs a shot and winces.
For my favorite charity.
Toys for Tots thanks you for your generosity.
I'll double it, if you can vault that.
Oh, forget it.
Chicken? I'll quadruple it. That's a lot of toys for a lot of tots.
She turns around and looks reluctantly over at a waist-high wooden train.
She's gonna do it!
Fine, but I want that check immediately.
Write it now.
Ellen inhales sharply just as Mrs. Worthington walks in the room. She gathers her courage, then darts forward to Mrs. Worthington and Mr. Pittman's astonishment. She leaps through the air and, planting her hands atop the train, vaults head over heels over it.
Miss Langford!
Ellen stumbles and falls backwards into a Christmas tree. To Mrs. Worthington's horror, the tree keels over with a clatter of Christmas decorations. The concerned onlookers rush forward as Ellen slowly sits up. She blows a strand of hair from her face and is greeted by a frenzy of photographers and Mrs. Worthington's awe-stricken expression. She smiles and throws up the peace sign.
Party heiress?
Ellen's photo is on the front page of a tabloid. A businessman reads the tabloid as he walks through an office. He grimaces as he walks straight past a secretary at Home and Hearth Gifts Incorporated.
We're socialite Ellen Langford, heiress to the Home and Hearth Gifts retail fortune. It was up to the very same hijinks. It gained her the party heiress nickname to begin with.
Alice, is my daughter in yet?
I know, she's in the boardroom, sir. Shall I get her plate?
No, I will get her.
Mr. Langford's assistant breathes anxiously. Ellen is in the boardroom examining and laying out several designs for a Home and Hearth advertisement. She carefully arranges them around the table as her father walks in. She looks up at him.
Hey! Now, I have been thinking. I think it's time for a snappier tagline. The home of heartfelt gifts feels a little old school.
Right now, this is the only tagline I'm interested in.
He drops the tabloid on the table.
Who?
Yeah. Oh. I just spent an hour on the phone with Mrs. Worthington, talking her off a ledge.
Dad, it was for charity. Someone dared me.
Someone dared you? How old are you, 12? Ellen, when you are out in public, you are an ambassador for this company. And once you are CEO, you will be the face of this company.
So you've made up your mind about retiring?
I thought that I had. Now I'm not certain that I dare. I need to leave this place in the hands of someone I can trust.
Sorry.
You can do better than this. Please, for all our sakes.
Mr. Langford turns and leaves the boardroom, leaving Ellen with a guilt-stricken expression. She inspects the tabloid with the title, Party Heiress Crashes Christmas, and twists her lips. A Christmas tree stands before a glass-sided office building.
I don't know, Alice. Maybe it's my fault.
You know, after Nora died, I let Ellie get away with too much, you know, to make up for it. And, you know, you think I spoiled her a bit?
No. Doesn't every kid get a Ferrari for Christmas?
Funny.
I almost forgot. The most important thing. It's your turn to write the Christmas letter. Have you given any thought to what you're going to write in your letter this year?
Hey, Dad. Sorry, Alice. I was wondering if you wanted to grab lunch.
Well, sweetie, I'm sorry, but I've got a conference call at 1:00.
No, I'll move that to 3. He's all yours.
Really? Great.
Dad, I'm really sorry.
No, look, Ellie, thank you. Ellie, it's not just you. It's on me, too.
Look, I want to do more than just apologize. I want to do something to make this right.
Honey, you don't have to.
I do, though. For you, for the company, for Mom, and for me. I want to prove to you that I'm not just a party girl, that I can take charge.
Well, okay. Great.
Cool.
What did you have in mind?
Ellen smiles blankly.
Well, I haven't really figured anything out yet, but... what if I did another fundraiser for Toys for Tots? Maybe like a I don't know. Oh, Valentine's Day. We could do a big flashy party and I can get the press involved.
Ellie, sweetie, the thing is, you're worrying about our public image.
Yep.
Which is great, you know, I do too, but the thing that I think you need to learn a little something about is the spirit of the company, which is really all about the people who buy our gifts.
Right.
Ordinary people who lead very different lives than you or I.
Mm-hmm, I hear you.
Most of our buyers, they're small town folks, you know, they... Oh, wait a second, I think I just figured it out. What you can do.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I need you to take a trip for me. A business trip.
Okay.
I need you to deliver the Christmas letters to Uncle Zeke.
You want me to go to Snow Falls?
Mm-hmm. Now, it's my turn to deliver the letters this year, but I think you should go instead. You know, see where it all began.
Okay. When?
Tonight? Really? You're kidding.
It's not a big deal, babe.
Yeah, but what about Maui? I mean, those tickets are non-refundable.
We don't leave until Christmas Eve. I'll be back in plenty of time.
And you gotta do this whole trip on $100 in a round-trip ticket.
I can do it. I've already got somewhere to stay. Uncle Zeke owns this beautiful inn up there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, but why just $100?
Because that's all that Uncle Zeke and Dad had when they started out.
Ugh.
Come on. I think this is a cute idea.
Okay, and if you do this challenge, you get to run the whole outfit?
Okay, don't make this sound like a gangster movie. But yes.
$100 is not a lot of money. You better bring your credit cards.
I can't. It's a part of the rules.
That's insane.
Besides, all my cards have my name on them.
Yeah, so what?
Oh, that's another part of the deal. See, people treat you a little bit differently when they know that you're inheriting a multi-million dollar company. So I have to go incognito.
Baby, why are you doing this to yourself?
Because I'm tired of people seeing me as some dumb rich kid. I want to prove to my father and to myself that I can take care of things on my own. And that I'm not just the party heiress.
Yeah, that's... So, what's this all about anyway?
The Christmas letters?
Yeah.
Have a look at that greeting card on the back. It's the original business plan for Home and Hearth Gifts. When Uncle Zeke and Dad came up with the idea, they just grabbed the nearest thing and wrote it down.
What about all these letters?
Well, every Christmas, they write each other like a sort of newsletter to say what had happened that year, good or bad.
Wouldn't it be easier to just, you know, send an email?
Look at the dates. Some of those letters go way back before email.
Ellen checks the time on her fiancé's watch.
Anyway, the whole point is that they're forced to get together every Christmas. It's like a company tradition.
Anyway.
Yeah, we should get going. The traffic to the airport's probably crazy right now.
Did you take a look at the ticket your father gave you?
No. Why?
Well, let's just say we won't have to worry about airport traffic.
She looks up at him with a puzzled expression.
The Port Authority bus terminal welcomes you.
Ellen and her father stand in a crowded station.
Here you go. Remember, this only works if nobody knows who you are.
Got it.
Right? Good. Now say hi to Zeke for me.
I will. And don't worry about me, okay? I can take care of myself.
She trips over her luggage.
I can't.
Right. Oh, Ellie? Your credit cards?
Oh.
She reaches into her purse and hands them over with a smile.
Cute. Platinum?
She freezes and slowly slinks backwards, rolling her eyes. She reaches into her bra and hands over the card.
Nice try.
Bye.
Bon voyage.
Mr. Langford watches her leave with a proud smile. A luggage handler throws a suitcase under the bus. Ellen slowly makes her way over to him as he tosses another.
Hi there. Is this baggage check?
Sure.
Great. There are a couple of delicate items in here. If you could just make sure they don't bounce around too much.
Got it.
Thank you.
The luggage handler stows the handles and promptly throws her luggage anyway. An aerial view of the highway at night. The New York skyline drifts past as Ellen makes her way through the aisle of the bus.
Be careful there, hon.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to find my seat, but I can't see any seat numbers.
Well, that's because there aren't any.
Well, how would you know where to sit?
I don't know. You just sit.
Oh, here. Oh. Thank you.
Yeah?
Okay.
Ellen sits down and lets out an exasperated sigh. She looks up and seems confused.
Are you looking for something?
The call button.
The what?
The call button. You know, for the attendant, I could really use a glass of wine.
You don't ride the bus much, do you?
Just between you and me.
Well, I'm an old hand at it. Kathy Garber.
I'm Ellen never mind.
Nice to meet you, Ellen.
Ellen adjusts herself in her seat and looks around the bus, nodding her head slightly. The snow-covered countryside rolls by under the morning sun. The bus speeds down a winding highway and pulls into a town with a sign that reads, "Welcome to Snow Falls." It slowly comes to a stop in front of a bus stop, and the driver opens the doors and steps out. Ellen steps off the bus, wearing a pair of black stilettos, which sink into the snow. She turns and approaches a group of carolers.
Tis the season to be jolly, control the ancient truths I care of. La 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 la.
Yes. Miss!
Sorry. Sorry, I'm still half asleep. Thank you very much.
She pulls out the $100 bill her father gave her and offers it to the driver.
You don't have change for 100.
The man shakes his head.
It's all right. Have a Merry Christmas.
The driver walks back onto the bus, leaving Ellen struggling to move her luggage. She slides her bags through the snow before turning back.
Merry Christmas to you too!
The bus pulls away as Ellen's cheery expression fades. She spots a man carrying a tree, approaching her bags.
Hey, be careful!
The man bumps into one of her suitcases, which rolls straight in front of a taxi.
No!
She chases after it. The taxi slams into the suitcase, scattering its contents across the road.
Oh, my God.
What are you trying to do, lady? Cause an accident?
You hit my suitcase.
Yeah, what's your suitcase doing in the road?
What? I just took my eyes off it for 1 second, and some guy just came and...
Some guy?
Yes.
What's... Can you?
They both grab a blue nightgown, and Ellen watches him as he lets out a sly grin. She folds it up and tucks it away.
You need a cab?
Not from you, thank you. I will wait.
Well, you might be waiting a real long time. This is a one taxi kind of town.
Well, fine, I'll Uber.
Yeah. No.
Lyft?
You may as well be speaking a foreign language here. Besides, we're not so good on cell reception either.
That's great.
Look, why don't you hop in? It's on the house. It's the least I can do. Hey, trust me. I am your best option right now.
She eyes him suspiciously. The taxi rolls through the town, passing small shops down a street flanked by Christmas decorations. A man dressed as Santa waves at pedestrians, and Ellen smiles from the back seat of the cab. She takes a deep breath and meets the driver's gaze in the rearview mirror.
So you're from New York?
Yeah. How'd you know?
And you just got that look.
What look?
You were on the second bus of the day, and the second bus of the day is New York.
Have you ever been?
Yeah, I've been.
And what did you think?
Came back here, didn't I?
He forces a smile, and Ellen's mouth tightens as she blinks repeatedly. The taxi pulls into the driveway of a large home, decorated with strings of Christmas lights.
Thanks for the ride.
No problem.
Ellen scans the lobby of the inn, which is decorated with Christmas lights and wreaths. She makes her way to the front desk, where Jake waits for her.
So, you got a reservation?
You work here too?
Yes, I am the manager, Jake Collins.
He extends his hand, waiting for a handshake.
Nice to meet you. I just drive the taxi when Herman's gout acts up.
Oh, well, I am actually here to see the owner.
Zeke.
Yes. Is he around?
You just missed him. He left town this morning.
What?
Kelly, he said when he's going to be back.
You've met Zeke, right?
Yeah. Our boss and his mysterious communing with the elements trips.
Mere mortals.
Are not welcome to that information. That's his words, not mine.
Did he say how long he was going for?
Kelly.
All he said was, and I quote, "I'll be back when I'm back."
Sounds like he's gonna be back when he's back.
Can you please call him and just tell him that I'm here? It's Ellen Lang, London.
Yeah. Like I said, reception here is a disaster, and besides, Zeke's not really a cell phone kind of guy.
Yeah, but my father... I just thought that he knew that I was coming.
Well, he didn't say anything to me. Sorry. So, you still want that room or not, Miss Lang London?
No, it's actually just London. L.A. London.
L.A. London. There's a landline in the room, but I'm going to have to charge you for it.
It's fine. Cookies are free, though.
Ellen reluctantly smiles and grabs a cookie. She bites into the cookie, lost in thought. The exterior of the Home and Hearth offices.
Really? He's not there. You know, that's just like him. Ever since Zeke retired, he's lost all track of time.
So what am I supposed to do now?
Well, you're already at the inn, so why don't you just relax, make yourself at home, and hopefully he'll show up tomorrow morning.
But what if he doesn't? Can't I just leave the Christmas letters at the front desk and come back to New York?
No, honey. I'm sorry. You must put it into his hand. That's the tradition. And that's our deal.
But, Dad, it's nearly 3 days until Christmas Eve. Oh, crap. Hello?
I'm sorry, honey. I can't hear you very well. We got a bad connection.
I said it's only 3 days until Christmas Eve. And I promised Gray...
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Mr. Langford shares a cheeky smile with his assistant. Ellen slams down the receiver angrily and slams the phone down on her suitcase, which falls to the floor.
Just a minute.
She picks up the suitcase and walks briskly up to the door. She opens it to find Jake standing in the hall.
Hey.
Hi.
Here's your change.
Oh.
Sorry that took so long. Had to go down to the safe. Don't get a lot of hundreds around here.
Yeah, have you heard from Zeke yet?
Nothing, sorry. So, you get hungry? Debbie's Cafe, just around the corner.
Thanks, but I think I'll just order room service. What?
Debbie's Cafe is room service. Come on, I'll walk you over. I gotta get coffee there anyway.
She nods her head and purses her lips.
Okay.
He raises his eyebrows and waits for her anxiously. The main street of Snow Falls is lit up with streetlights shaped like snowflakes. Ellen and Jake walk side by side.
It's dark fast around here.
You're in the deep north now, miss.
He flashes her a warm smile and reaches into his pocket. He pulls out a bill and hands it to a homeless man.
Ho, ho, ho. Well, thank you very much, young Jake. A very Merry Christmas to you. And you too, beautiful lady.
She smiles politely.
Thanks.
She continues ahead, appearing uneasy as Jake catches up.
Get your change upstairs?
No. No, I'm just on a bit of a budget.
He eyes her incredulously.
Besides, my fiancé says that giving money to the homeless actually hurts them.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with him, but think about it. Giving charity makes us feel good, but it's really selfish. I mean, are we helping the homeless by giving them money, or should we be encouraging them to earn their own?
That's a nice theory. I think in practice, Baxter back there probably appreciates every penny that gets him closer to a warm meal. Come on.
They round a corner and approach a building with a neon sign that reads Debbie's Cafe. They walk inside the packed cafe, and Ellen looks around, seeming slightly awestruck.
Wow, this place is really packed. I should have made a reservation.
Luckily, I know the owner.
Hey, Jakey. You're just in time for your favorite.
Thanks, Aunt Debbie, but just here to pick up the coffee for the morning.
Don't be silly. The chef saved you some clam chowder, and you know you don't want to upset the chef. I'm the chef. Oh. How about you? Something to eat, something to drink, some warmer clothes.
She'll survive. Just here tonight.
Well, thank you for choosing to bring your date to our humble establishment.
Oh, I'm not his date. No.
This is Ellie London. She's a guest at the inn.
Guest. Hi. Okay. Not a date. And just one night? Oh, that's too bad. You're gonna miss dinner with Santa. It's a Christmas Eve tradition here. We set up a Santa house in the church hall for the kids, and we raise money for charity.
Miss London has a complicated relationship with charity.
I do not. I don't. We have dinner and dancing and silent auction. It's fun. You should stay.
I can't. I have to go back to New York. I'm just here to see Zeke.
Zeke Daniels? Well, you're in the right place. He comes in here all the time. You see that table right there? That is where it all began. Zeke Daniels and Jim Langford came up with the idea for Home and Hearth Gifts right in that booth. Who knows? If it wasn't for My Little Diner, their whole multi-million dollar company might have never gotten off the ground.
How do you know Zeke? Oh, I am a friend of the family. Do you know Jim Langford, too?
Know him? I dated him all my senior year of high school.
You dated Mr. Langford?
Yeah, until he met Nora. I so wanted to hate her, but she was the sweetest thing and smart as a whip. Lit up a room every time she walked in. Everybody loved her. And she and Jim made a beautiful couple.
Didn't they get married at the end?
That's right. Yeah. I heard Nora passed about 10 years ago. Mm. Poor Jim. Anyway, forgive my reminiscing. You check out the menu and I will be right back.
She smiles and walks off. Jake notices Ellen's glum expression.
You okay?
Yeah. I'm fine. She's your aunt?
Yep. I was born here, so got a lot of family in town.
Oh, she was a singer.
Yeah, nothing ever that big, but a lot of local bands. She's got a great voice.
So, you grew up here, moved to New York, and, you know, what brought you back to Snow Falls?
I realized big city life wasn't for me after all.
Are you okay?
I just can't stand this song.
He turns and walks off, his smile quickly fading. Ellen seems concerned as he approaches the jukebox and puts a coin into the machine. She looks over as he hits the machine repeatedly.
Nice.
Debbie.
I'm just saying, she seems like a nice girl, that's all.
She's a guest at the inn, that's all. Besides, not interested.
Because you don't want to be interested.
Just want a new song.
Jacob, you can't keep yourself closed off. It's not healthy.
I'm fine.
Sure you're fine. That's why you're beating up my jukebox.
Debbie walks off with a frown. Jake turns and catches Ellen's eye before she looks away. He hovers for a moment, lost in thought, and twists a corner of his mouth. He hits the jukebox angrily. The exterior of the motel. Its Christmas lights pierce through the darkness. Inside, Ellen meditates, wearing a loose silk robe. She wears a cream mask under her eyes.
Feel them multiply as you become one with everything. At peace. With yourself and the universe.
Ellen walks up to the window and draws the curtain to find a group of carolers.
We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. So bring some right here.
Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas.
She steps away from the window and sighs before jumping back into bed, setting her tablet down on the bedside table. She grabs a book and notices a teddy bear on the windowsill.
What are you so happy about?
She raises her brow, and the bear stares back at her blankly. She sighs and pulls the blankets over herself and adjusts her pillow. She adjusts herself, trying to get comfortable. She opens the book and notices something at the foot of the bed. She jumps out of bed in a panic and stares at the bedroom door.
Is London everything all right?
She runs to the door and opens it to find Jake.
There is something in my bed. An animal.
Let's have a look.
She appears frightened as Jake lifts the blanket.
What?
Yeah, you are lucky. You're almost bitten by a
hot water bottle.
A what?
A bottle full of hot water.
Everything all right in here?
Yes, everything's fine, folks. You can go back to your rooms. The culprit was apprehended and will be dealt with to the fullest extent of the law.
Thank you.
An older man nods and walks away. Ellen seems embarrassed as she turns and gives Jake a smile.
What was it doing in there?
It was trying to keep you warm.
It is a perk that we offer our guests in the wintertime. Most people enjoy it. Especially those whose sleepwear is not exactly conducive to the local climate.
Thank you. Thanks.
Extra blanket?
Good night.
He nods as he closes the door behind him. Ellen lets out an exasperated sigh. The following morning, a woman approaches the motel. Inside, two young boys race down the stairs, one of them carrying a wooden toboggan. They smile excitedly as they walk through the dining room, where Jake is serving guests croissants for breakfast.
Excuse me. This is not clotted cream. This is whipped cream.
I'm afraid Aunt Debbie didn't send any over with breakfast this morning, Captain Williams.
Did you think I wouldn't know the difference? Do you think me an idiot?
Of course not, sir. I would be happy to arrange for a credit on your account for the price of one pot of clotted cream.
That's much better.
Jake smiles and pats the captain on the shoulder.
I'm impressed. You handled that like a professional.
Who, Captain Williams? Eh, he's just the sweet old guy.
You know, ever since his wife died, he comes back here every year to celebrate Christmas with us. Kind of a tradition.
Excuse me. Merry Christmas, Snow Falls Guest House. Yes. Hold on a sec, she's right here.
He hands her the telephone.
Uncle Zeke?
No, it's me. Have you been getting any of my messages?
Oh, sorry, babe. There's no reception up here.
Yeah, I've been trying to call you all morning. It's really annoying.
Well, it's nice to hear your voice.
So, what time are you getting back?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Whoa, what does that mean?
Well, Uncle Zeke isn't here yet.
Ellen, tonight is the night for my office Christmas thing.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, you gotta get back here for that. I want us to make a bit of an entrance.
Well, okay, but I can't go yet.
Wait, can't you just drop the letters off and come back home?
I'm really sorry, babe, but it doesn't work that way. The tradition is that I have to give him the letters in person.
Tradition? What is this, Fiddler on the Roof?
Okay, don't be like that.
It's fine, whatever.
Look, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to be stuck here a little bit longer.
It's fine. Karen will be there. I'll have someone to talk to.
Karen?
Yeah, you remember Karen from accounting.
Karen from accounting. How could I forget?
What was that?
Nothing.
What'd you say? I can't hear you.
Hello? Gray. Gray? Can you do... It's not...
Hello? Yeah, I guess the lines are down. Happens a lot when it gets this cold. So, Gray is your fiancé. The charitable one.
Yes, and he would like me home before the 4th of July. Did you get a hold of Zeke?
Sorry.
Sorry?
sorry you didn't get a hold of him, or sorry that you didn't even try?
Look, I told you, he doesn't have a phone up there. Now the lines are down. He will be here when he is here.
I can't stay another night.
Is that something I said?
Look, I spent most of my cash at dinner last night, and I can't afford it.
We take credit cards.
I don't have one.
Who travels without a credit card?
Great. I'm gonna have to call my father.
What?
Nothing. You know what? I'm gonna figure this out by myself. Thank you anyway.
He rolls his eyes.
Miss London. Ellie.
She stops in the stairwell and then walks back toward him. Jake meets her, appearing exasperated. She stands in front of him, seemingly unimpressed.
Look, we've all been there.
Where?
Money's a little tight. We didn't expect all this. Now, I know you're not the biggest fan of charity, but...
No, I...
Let me finish. Mrs. Dawson, our housekeeper's on vacation. Kelly called in sick this morning, so...
What are you asking me to do?
Do you know how to make a bed?
Yes.
Jake opens the door to room number 7. Inside is a mess of beer bottles, food containers, and dirty clothes. Jake and Ellen eye the room in disbelief. A pair of pantyhose hang from a lamp.
Mama. So, we've got no vacancies and 8 rooms to clean by 2 o'clock. I figure we split the job, we'll just make it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's... good math.
Good luck.
She looks around the room and spots a red bra hanging off the Christmas tree.
You can do this.
She throws beer bottles into a clear plastic bag and starts to clean the garbage off the floor. She grabs dirty food containers and grimaces. As she reaches for the bag, she knocks over a vase. It shatters, sending shards of glass across the floor. She looks back at the door nervously before sweeping the pieces into a dustpan. At the other end of the room, she attempts to make the bed, stretching the sheets to fit over the mattress. The corners are creased, and she struggles to tuck in the corner. Suddenly, she stumbles backwards and knocks over the trolley full of cleaning supplies. She pushes a vacuum across the floor and catches herself in a mirror. She winces at her appearance and tussles her hair before looking down with a frown. She pulls the vacuum out from underneath a chair, and a pair of boxer shorts are clogging the hose. She holds them up in front of her and attempts to pull them out, but struggles to hold on as they are slowly sucked down the hose. Suddenly, she loses her grip and they disappear entirely. She looks down the nozzle frantically and looks back at the vacuum cleaner in horror. She rushes over but stops dead as the machine starts to shake violently. She takes several steps back as it bounces up and down, then takes cover. Jake calmly cleans another room. He looks over his shoulder toward room 7 and quickly opens the door to find dust raining down like snowflakes. He looks around the room in confusion and spots the remains of the vacuum cleaner. Ellen appears from behind the Christmas tree with a sheepish expression.
This might take a little longer than I thought.
He looks at her with a blank expression.
I'm really sorry. I'm not used to this kind of thing.
Yeah. Apparently. So, what do you do for a living?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm a baker.
Oh, a baker.
Ellie the Baker, it's what they call me. I just bake. It's too bad you don't have a kitchen, because that is where I really shine. But you don't have a kitchen, no kitchen, so, oh well.
Actually...
Ellen's smile evaporates. A car drives past Debbie's cafe. Inside, Debbie ties an apron around Ellen's waist.
We have to deliver the tea service to the inn by 4, so why don't you do the divinity while I whip up the shortbread?
Okay,
But first, do me a favor and separate the eggs. Separate the eggs. Got it.
She watches Debbie leave the kitchen and looks down at the bowl of eggs, growing increasingly more nervous. She slowly grabs an egg in each hand and holds them up to her face. She examines each one carefully, her gaze darting back and forth. In the dining area, Debbie cleans a table when she spots a family photo of Mr. Langford carrying a little girl on his shoulders next to a beautiful blonde-haired woman. She blinks repeatedly, a look of realization falling over her. She shakes her head as she looks closely at a young, smiling Ellen, and then focuses in on her young, smiling mother. She returns to the kitchen to find Ellen staring at the bowl of eggs. She folds her arms and shakes her head again.
Is everything all right, Allie?
Yes. Yes. I was just wondering, you said that you wanted me to separate the eggs, but you didn't tell me whether or not you wanted them separated by size or by weight.
You're not a baker, are you?
No.
Have you ever done any cooking?
I watch the cooking channel sometimes at the gym.
I should have realized yesterday. You look just like her.
Excuse me?
Your mom.
You are the spitting image of Nora Langford.
I didn't think of that.
Debbie cracks an egg into the bowl.
So why are you lying about who you are?
I'm not lying, really. I'm doing this for my dad. See, he wanted me to come here without telling anyone who I am, so that people wouldn't treat me differently. See, he wanted me to learn something from the people of Snow Falls.
Learn something?
Yeah. Please don't tell anyone.
Debbie pauses for a moment and eyes her.
Well, if Jem Langford thinks it's a good idea, I'm willing to help out. Did you know that Jake was married once?
No.
To a Wall Street broker, believe it or not. They met when he was in college in New York, got married a year later, and a year after that, she left him for one of her clients. Some millionaire.
That's terrible.
It is. Broke my heart. You see, I love my nephew like he were my own son. I don't want to see him get hurt.
No. I'm not here to hurt anybody. Really, I'm just here to learn.
Debbie lets out a smile.
Well, there's only one thing we can do then.
What?
We have to teach you how to bake.
Relieved, Ellen smiles. A blizzard falls from the night sky.
The weather forecast is calling for a major snowstorm tonight. The mayor's office is warning everyone to take cover as soon as possible. High winds are forecast that will send the wind chill plummeting, so everyone is advised to stay inside, stay warm, and sit out what will be a very cold night.
The homeless man huddles underneath his blanket. The exterior of the inn. Inside, a guest reaches for a gingerbread cookie.
Delicious.
Looks like your Christmas cookies are a big hit.
Thanks to you.
Oh, I just held your hand a bit. You did the rest. I'll have you making baked Alaska in no time.
Where's the manager?
I'm not sure, Captain Williams. Can I help you with anything?
We're out of honey. This morning, no clotted cream. What is this place coming to?
Well,
come on inside, folks. Everybody come on over to the fire and warm up. Aunt Debbie, can you give me a hand?
Debbie rushes over to the door.
Oh, yes, please. Come on in.
Let's just get you folks nice and warm.
Hey, what's going on?
A storm's knocked out the power on the east side of town. The temperature's getting dangerous, so we moved most everybody to the shelters for the night. But still need a place for these folks till the power comes back on.
Hey, Sheriff,
Sheriff, we got a 1066 down by Old Lakeshore Road.
Copy that. Gotta go.
Sure. Are you going back out there?
Yeah, need to get more firewood.
But there's no vacancy, so how are you going to fit all these people in here?
Well, we'll figure it out. We have to. Can't leave anyone out in the cold.
He walks off, leaving Ellen with a frown. She looks around and examines the people huddling near the fireplace. She spots a man comforting a woman and a child sipping from a mug. A look of realization falls over her.
Out in the cold.
She grabs her scarf and ties it around her neck.
Ellie! Where are you going?
I'll be back soon.
Oh, honey, it's freezing out there.
I'll be fine.
She walks out into the blizzard and steps across the porch and out onto the laneway. Jake fills up a basket of firewood as she runs past him into the street. Moments later, Jake walks back inside carrying the firewood. He kicks the door shut and walks over to the fireplace. Debbie looks at him anxiously.
Ellie's not with you?
No, what do you mean?
I thought she went outside to help you.
She's outside?
Yeah, she was in a real rush. Come on.
It's much warmer in here. We have a fire going. It'll be great.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Ellen and the homeless man look over at Jake, who appears stunned.
Of course, yeah. Come on in. Hey, you're more than welcome here. Come on.
Hi, Jake.
Hey, Baxter.
Come on. Come on in. I don't want to make no trouble.
Come on in. Come sit by the fire. Yeah, come on. It's so cold out there. I'll get you some hot chocolate.
Thank you.
Here.
Why did you go out there by yourself? You should have come to get me or told the sheriff.
Oh, everyone was busy.
That weather out there is no joke. You are way underdressed.
You were worried about me.
She smiles cheekily.
No, I wasn't. I was worried about your clothes, or lack thereof.
You were worried about my lack of clothes?
Yes.
All my clothes, thank you.
That makes no sense whatsoever. That was some fast thinking. Thank you.
Well, you set a good example, so thank you.
He smiles before taking a deep breath.
Okay, I am going to head over to the fire to go make the fire.
Okay.
Bigger. Make fire bigger.
Okay. He heads toward the fire, looking back with a smile. Ellen stands there watching him as he looks back yet again. She takes off her scarf and hangs it up. Outside, the blizzard rages over an intersection with a flashing red stoplight. The exterior of the inn. A sign reading the Snowfalls Guest House sways in the wind.
So, you folks, you're gonna stay in my room. I'm gonna bunk down here with Baxter.
Thank you, sir.
No problem. Now, that just leaves you guys and our mom and our two snow princesses.
My wife and I have the honeymoon suite. We could give up the sofa in the sitting room.
That is great. Thank you.
Jacob, I'd like to volunteer to give up my room, take the honeymooner's sofa. My hearing's not that good anymore anyway.
Thank you, Captain. Very kind of you. So, you folks stay in the captain's room. Now, Kara.
Oh, it's okay, Jake. We'll just make ourselves comfortable down here somewhere.
Excuse me. I have a couch in my room. I'd be happy to share it, too.
No. Oh, you don't have to do that. It's okay.
I want to. It's Christmas.
Say thank you to the nice lady.
Thank you, nice lady.
Jake mouths the words thank you, and Ellen nods her head with a smile.
Here we go.
Come on in.
I cannot tell you how much we appreciate this.
Of course.
Mommy, what if Santa can't find us?
Oh, I wouldn't worry, honey. Santa's pretty smart.
Besides, there's still 2 days to Christmas.
Okay. This would be so much easier if Dennis was here. It's my husband. He's stationed over in Germany, and we were hoping he would be home in time for Christmas, but... that's late plans and all that. you mind?
Oh, no. She's... Oh, okay. There you go.
She likes you.
The baby looks up at Ellen, who stares into its eyes with a pensive smile.
Hey, why don't you guys take the bed? I can camp out on the sofa.
Oh, we can't do that. You've already been so generous.
No, it's fine. I mean, there's three of you and one of me.
Mommy, I can't find Douglas.
Who's Douglas?
My dog.
Your dog?
Her stuffed dog. Honey, are you sure?
He's not in here. Mommy, you forgot him. You know I can't sleep without Douglas.
Oh.
You know what? This guy looks kind of lonely. Do you think Douglas would mind if you kept him company tonight?
The little girl thinks about it for a moment, then grabs the teddy bear and gives it a big hug.
Okay.
Thank you. It's cute.
Hey.
Hey.
Figured you'd need these.
Thank you.
Sure. Looks like you made a new friend.
Yeah, she likes me. Not sure why.
Well, let me know if you need anything else. Otherwise, good night.
Hey.
Ellen locks eyes with Jake, who smiles, before turning and leaving. He shuts the door on his way out.
He's such a nice guy.
He is, isn't he?
Ellen stares off into space. An aerial view of snow falls at night. The blizzard has stopped and the headlights of cars slowly approach the town from the highway. The exterior of the guest house. Inside, Baxter sleeps next to the fireplace. Ellen walks down the stairs and picks up a cloth at the foot of the sofa. She starts to clean up the table and notices that a set of double doors are slightly ajar. She sets down a couple of glasses, then slowly makes her way toward them, as the flickering fire sends light dancing across the walls of the room. She peers inside to find an office filled with Christmas decorations. As she rounds a cluttered shelf, she notices Jake in the corner, sketching on a piece of canvas. He quietly outlines the shape of a reindeer. She quietly watches him for several moments, then winces as she raps on the shelf.
Hey! So...
You're an artist.
Oh, no, I'm just a doodler. You're up late.
Yeah, I was just cleaning up. Do you need anything?
Oh, no, I'm good, thanks. You should get some sleep, though.
Yeah, probably. Are you opening a dollar store?
No. No, I volunteered to help with the Santa dinner. Those are items for the silent auction. Long time tradition around here. We're trying to raise some money for the local soup kitchen. Kind of a rough year for a lot of folks, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this alone would raise couple of million easy.
Yeah, you can have that. There is more where that came from.
What?
Yeah.
Thank you. I will treasure it forever.
Jake smiles at her.
I just haven't had a lot of time to bug local businesses for donations, which is why I have beautiful items like this for auction.
And when is it?
Day after tomorrow.
Oof.
I know. Believe me, I know. It's just been a little crazy around here with the storm.
Yeah. Hey. This could actually fetch a price. That's adorable. Did you do this?
Yeah, that's just a sketch.
You should do something with these. Okay. You're the artist, but you should know that you're very talented.
Thank you.
Well, I'm gonna go to bed. So.
Good.
She stops on her way out and slowly turns around.
Do you always do this much to help people?
Yeah, whenever I can. You help people too, so.
Not like you.
Well, I think Baxter out there would beg to differ.
I'm really gonna go this time.
Okay. Hold on. Do you wanna go for a walk?
Outside?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Why?
I want to show you something.
Okay.
Can I?
Yes?
Borrow a warmer coat. You're right, I do have a lack of clothes problem.
I think you're really good at what you do, and you're a talented artist. I think if you just made a few big, bold moves, you could do so much more.
Yeah, well, sometimes big, bold moves don't work out so great.
Right, New York.
What do you mean, New York? Aunt Debbie.
We had to talk about something while the cookies were baking.
He relaxes and lets out a smile. They walk down a forested path.
I guess I'm an idiot. I never suspected anything. We were in different worlds. She worked in finance. I was a struggling art student. But true love, right? I don't know. I really thought she was the one. So, we're having this romantic dinner. And out of nowhere, in the middle of the seafood risotto, she looks at me. And she just says, "It's over." Bam! Right then they start playing Silent Night.
So now every time the song comes on, you...
Yeah. It's pretty stupid, right? You'd think I'd be able to get over it by now.
I don't know. I think some things you never actually get over.
They lock eyes for a moment.
You wanted to show me something?
Yeah. We're almost there. It's right that way.
He smiles as they start down a path lit up with a string of patio lights. She stops dead in her tracks.
Wow.
She marvels at a line of intricately crafted ice sculptures. She looks back at him and steps forward, examining a large snowflake.
You made these?
I just designed them. My buddy Martin teaches sculpture at the college, so his students actually do all the hard work.
They're stunning.
Thanks. They're a big hit with the tourists that come around Christmas.
Well, they're a big hit with this tourist. So's the artist.
Well, the tourist isn't so bad herself.
She looks up and smiles, then spends several moments searching for words.
When I was a teenager, my mom died. That's a thing I can't get over.
I am so sorry.
Thanks. She came from a beautiful little town, just like this one. And I could never bring myself to go back. Just scared. Once she was gone, I started living life as if nothing else mattered. Because at the time, the way I felt, nothing did. But these past few days, you've taught me that some things really do matter.
He smiles and stares down at the ground before twisting his mouth. He rocks back and forth, gathering his courage.
Is this the part where we're supposed to kiss?
think so.
He nods his head and they slowly lean into each other.
I can't.
I'm sorry.
Oh. No, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry.
No.
Oh, you were talking about your mom and I didn't... I don't...
You're such a nice guy.
Not that nice, yeah. Nice. Right, you're here to look at a bunch of nothing.
No, not nothing. Not nothing. It's lovely, and so is your company, and I should go. Good night, Jake.
Going the wrong way.
Yep. Got it.
She walks past him, and he watches her as she leaves before casting his gaze downward. The family is fast asleep in Ellen's bed as she slowly opens her bedroom door. She carefully closes it behind her and tiptoes over to the dresser. She empties her pockets and pulls out the Santa Claus bobblehead Jake gave her. She smiles and sets it down on the table, causing it to jiggle from side to side. She eyes her reflection in the mirror and takes off her fur hat. She leans in closer.
What are you doing?
She smiles and bites her lip. She looks down at the bobblehead and cocks her head slightly. She taps it, causing it to start moving again. She smiles and looks around the room before carefully sneaking back to the door. The bobblehead continues to bobble as she exits the room. Downstairs in the office, she sneaks around the shelf and walks up to the desk. She reaches for one of the flyers for the Soup Kitchen fundraiser and smiles. She turns to leave but stops and grabs one more. She then quickly walks out. The following morning, she runs down the street and walks into Debbie's cafe. She greets Debbie with a warm smile.
Good morning, Allie. Are you ready for today's lesson?
Actually, I need a favor.
Oh.
Ellen cracks eggs into a bowl while Debbie pours molasses out of a measuring cup. Ellen uses the eggshell to separate the eggs and then carefully pours brown sugar into another cup. She accidentally spills some, and Debbie throws up her hands with a smile, motioning for her to use less.
Whoa, that's good.
Ellen smiles as Debbie kneads dough on the countertop. Moments later, Debbie presses it into the shape of gingerbread men. She lifts up the cookie cutter and smiles as she pulls out a gingerbread man. Grabbing it by the head, its head falls off, and Debbie laughs warmly. Ellen then puts sprinkles on each one and carries the baking sheet over to the oven. She closes the doors, and then, after several moments, returns to find them cooked. She removes them and sets them down on the counter next to another tray. She then places some in a mason jar and places a red bow on top of the closed lid. They load them into Debbie's car.
Don't forget about Mr. Martin at the art gallery and tell him I sent you.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Good luck.
At the art gallery, Ellen speaks with Mr. Martin and hands him one of the flyers, which reads, "The Soup Kitchen needs your help." He nods and Ellen mouths, "Thank you," while reaching into her basket and pulling out a jar of cookies. Mr. Martin waves her over and helps her haul a large wrap present into Debbie's car. He then points her down the road, and she gives him a big hug. She hands another woman a jar, and she shakes her hand and takes a mannequin off of a display. Ellen walks out of the shop carrying a black dress. She drives off, her trunk loaded with presents. She collects another gift from an older man in exchange for the cookies, as well as an electric guitar from another. The car is nearly full as she loads a blanket and a stuffed teddy bear. She hands the flyer to a man in an electronics store.
A silent auction.
Mm-hmm. For the Santa dinner.
No, I already donate online.
But it's for local charity. Every dollar from the auction goes to help your friends and neighbors right here in Snow Falls.
Oh, I already pay my taxes. Plenty of.
Come on. It's Christmas.
Sorry, miss. That just doesn't cut it with me.
Please? You get cookies.
You're gonna have to do better than that.
It's the right thing to do.
She raises her eyebrows reproachfully, and the man's expression softens. She walks out with a new computer. She struggles to carry it up to the car, opens the trunk, and slides it in. A shopkeeper posts the flyers in their display as she walks out with a toboggan, which she tucks underneath bungee cords, strapped to the roof of the car. She drives off with the car so full of gifts that the trunk door won't close. She pulls over and attempts to tie it shut using a length of ribbon, and then throws up her arms.
Okay, then.
She smiles, gets back into the car, and starts driving down the street. The exterior of the guest house. Trees sway in the wind above the snow-covered building, and a sign reads, Snow Falls Guest House. Jake and the police officer step out onto the porch.
They'll have the power back up for those folks by tomorrow morning. Thanks for all your help, Jake.
My pleasure.
The police officer and Jake look over at Ellen and her car full of gifts as it comes to a stop. Jake and the cop look on in disbelief as Ellen steps out of the vehicle.
Hi!
Hi! What is all this?
This is your Dinner with Santa silent auction. Every item was donated by local merchants right here in Snow Falls.
Oh, you're kidding. You did all this? How?
Well, you don't spend this long in the gift baking business without picking up a trick or two.
Gift baking business?
Jake, you ever heard the expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth?
I don't know what to say.
Seems like thank you wouldn't be out of place.
Thank you.
She nods and he leans in and gives her a hug. He closes his eyes, cherishing the moment as she smiles. The police officer looks on, nodding his head with a smile. Suddenly a red BMW pulls into the driveway. They release their hug and stare fondly into each other's eyes, just as Gray closes the car door.
This really is a friendly little town.
Gray? Gray, what are you doing here?
Well, I heard about the storm, so I figured I'd come up here and rescue you. Although it looks like you're doing just fine without me. Thought the roads were closed.
Guess they're open now.
Yeah, they're open now.
Mm-hmm. Gray, this is Jake Collins. He manages the inn. And Jake, this is Gray Pittman, my fiancé.
Good to meet you.
Yeah, same to you.
Paul Greenleaf. I'm the sheriff here in Snow Falls. If you need anything, don't hesitate to call.
Well, thank you, Paul, but I'm pretty good at taking care of things on my own.
Jake purses his lips and raises his brow.
Okay, come on, honey. Do you want to see the inn? It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay.
Nice to meet y'all.
He pats Jake on the shoulder as he walks past.
Seems like a nice fella.
The officer pats him on the shoulder before leaving. Jake wears a gloomy expression. Inside, Ellen and Gray head upstairs.
You didn't have to be so rude out there.
Oh, well, excuse me. I'll try to be more polite next time some guy is all over my fiancé.
He was thanking me. I bailed him out, helped him with the charity auction, that's all.
Look, I thought you came here to deliver these Christmas letters, and now you're what, Mother Teresa of Snow Falls? Come on, let's get you packed and get you out of here.
I can't leave yet. Uncle Zeke still hasn't shown up.
Uncle Zeke? Is this that tradition thing again? What about us? What about our new traditions? We got a flight in 24 hours.
Okay, look. If Zeke doesn't show up by tomorrow morning, we'll go. All right? I'll leave the letters at the front desk and figure out a way to explain it to my father later.
Okay, great. What do I do until then?
Well, you've been on the road all day. You must be exhausted. So why don't you go in there, take a nap, and I'll be back after I help Debbie with the Christmas tea.
Okay.
Oh, and remember, I'm not Ellen Langford here. Just plain old Ellie London.
Ellie London?
Ellie London.
Okay.
Bye.
Got it.
Wait, Christmas tea?
Gray frowns and pauses before opening the door to the bedroom. He peers inside to find the little girl spinning in circles while her mother watches and laughs.
Can I help you?
He licks his lips and shakes his head. The girl stops spinning for a moment, then continues. Gray nods his head repeatedly before closing the door. Ellen walks through a park and sighs as she approaches a stately stone building. She gathers herself for a brief moment, then walks up the front steps. Inside, a group of volunteers are laying out everything for the auction. Ellen walks in and spots Jake smiling, carrying a model of a wooden canoe. She hesitates for a moment, then slowly approaches him.
Hey.
Hey!
Debbie asked me to pick up the car so I can...
Christmas tea. Yes.
Thank you.
Sure.
I'm sorry about Greg. He doesn't mean to be rude, it's just kind of the way that he is.
Yeah, hey, don't worry about it. I probably would have acted the same way.
I don't think you would have.
Look, about last night, I wanted to apologize. I knew you were engaged, and I never should have let that happen.
Well, there were two of us out there.
Yeah, but you've been upfront with me from the start, and I should have respected that. The thing is...
Jake.
Just hear me out on this. The thing is, it's been a long time since I felt like I could trust anyone. And, I don't know, you're different. You're honest. And it was just nice to feel that way again. But I let my feelings get the best of me, and I'm sorry. So... friends. Let's high five. Okay, let's be friends. Okay, let's just be friends.
Hey, I've got to tell you something.
Jake!
Oh, I will be right back. What's going on?
Got it.
Okay. All right. I thought elves were a union. You trying to get workers' comp out of this?
Yes, or what?
Trying to make a little money off the church? I take my eyes off you for 2 seconds. I'm kidding. All right, okay? All right? Okay. Whoa.
He looks around for Ellen, but she's nowhere to be found. He appears slightly dejected and forces a smile. Kids play outside the guest house, throwing snowballs at each other. A fire burns in the fireplace, and the captain reads a story with the little girl. Gray walks down the stairs, holding up his cell phone to get service. He walks into the crowded dining room.
I come from a family of pastry chefs, and can I just say, these are truly the most delicious Christmas cookies I've ever tasted.
Really? Thank you. Bon appetit.
Oh, thank you.
Ellen walks over to Gray.
Hi.
Are we in the Stone Age? I can't get a signal to save my life.
Well, do you want a cookie to cheer you up?
No, I don't do sugar.
I made them myself.
You made these? Seriously?
Is that so hard to believe?
Well, it's a long way from the party heiress to Susie Homemaker.
Can you please cut it out with the party heiress stuff? Nobody knows who I am here.
Okay, what's with the waitress bit?
Well, I ran out of money. So I've been helping out around here to earn my keep.
Well, why didn't you just call me or call your father?
Because I said that I was going to do this on my own, and I meant it. No one knows who I am. They treat me like a regular person. And I like that.
You're starting to scare me.
He takes a bite of a cookie.
Oh.
Thank you.
What do you think?
I think...
You can play all lovey-dovey with the locals all you want. But trust me, you're never gonna be one of them. I gotta find a signal.
He walks off, leaving Ellen alone and upset. She stares down at her plate of cookies and then looks out towards the door, lost in her own thoughts. She then turns and joins the others in the dining room. Debbie looks at her with concern. In her bedroom, Ellen packs up her suitcase. She folds up a sweater and sighs. She looks over at the bobblehead on top of the dresser. She then makes her way across the room and walks right up to it. She moves it aside and opens the box underneath it, revealing a stack of Christmas letters. She grabs a folded piece of paper from the top and slowly unfolds it.
December 1981. Well, Zeke, we did it. For a couple of guys who weren't much good at showing their feelings, we started a company that lets other people express their own. Here's to a great first year and the friendship that made it happen. Jim.
December 1982. Jim, you were right about starting our first retail store in Middlebury, but you gotta admit, I was the one who picked Bill Parcells to be head coach. Go Giants!
She sits down and reads another one by the fireplace.
December 1993. The company's growing, and so is our little Ellie. She's so serious about gymnastics, so focused, that I can already see the strong young woman she's going to become.
She grows increasingly more emotional.
December 1996. Another record year for us, Jim. You know, maybe it's time we started looking into this internet sales thing. It might really take off. Sorry to hear about Nora's illness, but she's a strong lady. And with you and Ellie by her side, I'm sure she's going to be able to pull through.
Her expression turns somber as she grabs another letter.
Nora's been gone a while now, but I still find myself calling her name when I come home. Don't know how I'd get through this if it wasn't for Ellie. And for you, my good friend. Merry Christmas.
Ellen's eyes well with tears.
Come in.
The little girl walks into the room.
My mommy said to tell you we're all out of hot chocolate.
Okay, I'll be down in a minute.
Are you crying?
A little bit.
The little girl walks over to the couch and picks up the teddy bear. She walks over to Ellen and hands it to her.
He helped me.
Thank you.
They hug each other, and Ellen regains her composure. Outside, Jake walks down the main street of Snow Falls. He passes a local and forces a quick smile. He passes by a bar and stops abruptly. He heads for the door and steps inside, slowly making his way up to the bar. He remains expressionless as he approaches the counter and takes a seat next to Gray.
Jack on the rocks. You don't forget the rocks.
The innkeeper.
It's the fiancé. Enjoying our little town?
Oh, yes. I'm especially looking forward to spending the night on a cot in the hallway. So how come you're not back there enjoying the Christmas hoo-ha?
Sometimes you just need a break, even from Christmas.
Tell me about it. My family wasn't much of a tradition. More of the buy the next shiny new thing crowd.
Right.
I gotta hand it to you. Never in a million years did I think I'd see Ellen Langford making Christmas cookies.
Thought she was a baker.
A baker.
Yeah. You're kidding, right?
with Ellen Langford. As in Jim Langford. As in Jim Langford, Home and Hearth Gifts?
Do me a favor. Forget I said anything. All right?
Yeah, sure.
He stares down into his drink for a moment, then sits up and pulls out a wad of bills. He throws down a couple, slides out his chair, and heads for the exit. Gray watches him as he leaves and raises his glass.
Merry Christmas.
Gray takes a sip of his martini. Back at the guest house, Baxter is sound asleep in front of the fire, with a plate of cookies sitting on the table next to him. A candle burns next to them, and several wreaths are lit up with Christmas lights. Christmas stockings are hung by the fire. Light leaks through the cracks in the office doors. Inside, Jake types on a laptop. His eyes reflect the glow of the computer screen as his fingers dance across the keyboard. He searches the web for Langford Daughter Home and Hearth Gifts. He clicks on a link and loads a web page featuring a video of Ellen falling into the Christmas tree with the title reading, Party Heiress Crashes Christmas Ball.
Ellen Langford. Fooled again.
Gray's red BMW is parked in front of the guest house. Two guests walk out of the building with their bags. Inside, Jake walks into the living room.
Well, I guess this is goodbye.
Sad you're leaving. I don't even know how to start to thank you for everything you've done.
You already did. And you guys kept me company through a scary storm. Now, there is someone who wants to come home with you.
What do you say, Luby?
Thank you. Now, I'm sorry, but we have to go. Santa comes tonight and we cannot be late.
Oh, of course. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Get the door, Luby. Thanks.
I'm gonna go take this out to the car if my back doesn't give out first. Hopefully there'll be better bellboys in Maui. Now, babe.
Jake watches from the front desk, and Ellen slowly walks up to him. He avoids eye contact and stares at the computer screen.
On your way?
I guess so. Did you hear from Zeke? Phone call, anything?
Sorry, nothing.
Okay. Well, if you could just give him this when you see him.
Yeah, I can't, sorry.
What? Why?
It's like the sign says, management will not be responsible for valuables. And to the people in this town, these Christmas letters are pretty damn valuable. Here's your bill. Now, is your fiance gonna pay for this? Or should I just send an invoice directly to Home and Hearth Gifts?
You know.
Yeah. We may not have cell service here, but we do have the internet. Looked like that tree put up quite a fight.
Jake.
Hey, you know what? Let's just forget this whole thing, huh? We ought to be honored that New York City's party heiress decided to stay at our little inn.
Jake, I never wanted to lie to you. I just couldn't tell anyone. Please, you have to understand.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand. Totally. You know, this is why I left New York. Because of people like you.
She begins to tear up.
Merry Christmas, Miss Langford.
He walks off, leaving her crestfallen. She takes a moment, then grabs the box of letters and tucks it into her purse. She then turns and makes her way to the door. Outside, Debbie's car pulls up in the driveway. It rolls to a stop in front of Gray's BMW. He waits impatiently with his fist pressed into his mouth as Debbie steps out of the car with a basket of cookies. Ellen walks out of the inn as Debbie is headed inside.
Ellie, you're leaving already? But it's Christmas Eve.
I know, but
We have to get back to the city.
That's too bad. I was hoping you'd come to the Santa dinner. I know that Jake was really looking forward to having you there, too.
Yeah, well, thank you for everything.
Oh, I got you something.
You didn't have to do that.
Your very own oven mitts.
Debbie. Thank you. I love them.
Merry Christmas, sweetheart. Don't be a stranger.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, and tell your dad I said hello, too.
I will. Thank you for keeping my secret.
I told you I would. Just remember, some secrets are too big a burden to keep. Okay. I gotta go. Bye.
Ellen hops into the passenger seat of Gray's car and waves goodbye to Debbie, who sighs as she turns to head inside. The BMW reverses out of the driveway. Debbie steps inside, closing the door behind her.
Hello? Jake?
Debbie steps into the living room and puts the basket of cookies down on the table. Debbie heads toward the office and walks inside. Jake is sitting at the desk, staring at a Santa bobblehead in front of an analog radio. Debbie hovers for a moment before stepping forward. He sees her and sets down the figurine.
Want to talk about it?
He twiddles his thumbs and lets out a sigh before looking up at her with a smile. The BMW speeds down a two-lane highway as a snowstorm picks up. Ellen leafs through the letters, seeming concerned.
All right, we're cutting it kind of close, but we should have just enough time to throw some things in a bag and race to the airport.
It's not here.
What?
The letter. I have all the letters dating back to 1981, but I don't have the one from this year.
Maybe you didn't write one.
He must have. That was the whole point of me going to Snow Falls, so that I would hand-deliver the letter. And now I was planning to courier it to him from the airport. I must have left it at the inn. We have to go back.
Are you kidding? We'll miss the flight.
Great. I have to get that letter.
You know what? I've been pretty patient this whole time, but enough's enough. They're just a bunch of stupid letters. Who cares?
You don't mean that.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I do. I'm sick and tired of your father's neurotic, cutesy family business traditions. Now, can we please just drop it and enjoy our vacation, please? Great, we need gas. Voice command.
Speak a command.
Find gas station.
Finding gas station.
Ellen stares out at the road in front of her with a blank expression. The BMW turns into a parking lot and drives up to the gas pump at an old wooden general store. A sign reads Trout Lake Trading Company. A bus is parked in the lot, and its passengers slowly file their way inside. A screen on the side of the bus reads Snow Falls. Gray shuts off the engine and engages the parking brake.
Look, if your boyfriend back there finds the letter at the hotel, he'll just send it to your office, right? He knows how important it is to you, to your father, the company. That whole village is built around the home and hearth gifts legacy.
What makes you think he'd know who my father is? How did he know who I am?
Maybe I let it slip out last night.
Why would you do that?
It was a mistake. He was going to find out sooner or later. What's the big deal? Who cares what those people think?
I care! Me! That's the whole reason I went to Snow Falls. It was to learn from them.
Oh, please. You're gonna learn from a bunch of hicks. Look, baby, you don't belong there and you know it.
Maybe I don't. But I know I don't belong with you.
She takes off her engagement ring and sets it down beside her. She takes off her seatbelt and gets up to leave as Gray tries to protest.
Don't be ridiculous. Where are you going?
back to Snow Falls.
And how do you plan on getting there?
I think I'll take the bus.
Ellen turns and walks toward the open bus door.
What about Maui?
You should go by yourself. I'm sure you'll enjoy the company.
She climbs onto the bus, leaving Gray standing there in shock and disbelief as it pulls away. At night, the bus pulls into Snow Falls. Partygoers show up at the auction and walk up the steps of the stone building. Inside, a band plays to hundreds of guests, who enjoy food, dancing, and an elaborate decorative display.
We're actually going to take a little bit of a break to let you all enjoy some food and fun and a visit with Santa. But then right after that, we will be back with a very special guest, okay? Thank you. Oh, wait! Hey, look, it's the big man himself!
Santa takes a photo with a little girl. Ellen walks in and scans the party. She passes through tables lined with gifts, sporting signs that read, Silent Auction. Jake stops dead in his tracks, and his smile vanishes when he sees her.
Jake. Look, I know that you have no reason to help me, but I lost one of the Christmas letters at the inn. Have you seen it?
Sorry, nope.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Where's your fiance? Out in the car. Not one to mingle with the common folk.
He's probably back in the city by now. I don't know, and I don't really care.
Okay.
Jake looks away skeptically.
I really don't.
She holds up her left hand. He examines her finger and takes a deep breath.
That's a pretty bold move.
Well, sometimes bold moves are worth making. Worth the risk.
I don't know what you want me to say.
You framed them. Good idea. Look, I didn't want to come here at first. Like, I really didn't. I wanted to shut down the part of me that missed my mom. But then I met everyone here. And I met you. And it made me think that even though there are some things that you can't get over, maybe it's easier if you're not alone. If you're with someone that you trust.
No, you can't. Lady, we're trying to run an auction here, so if you're not interested in bidding on something, maybe you should hit the road.
Well, what's this worth?
He smiles and kinks his jaw to the side.
A gift expert once told me, at least $1 million.
Sold. Gift expert, huh?
Please gather round, everyone. Santa has a very special message to share with all of us.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, everyone, for being here tonight.
And thanks to all of you who've donated to the charity auction for making this Christmas in Snow Falls so special for so many people. Now, before we continue with our festivities, I received a very special letter. It's from an old friend of our town, and he wanted me to make sure that I read it here tonight. It's dated December of this year, and it goes like this. Dear Zeke.
Uncle Zeke.
Well, the time has come, old friend, for me to step down as chief executive of Home and Hearth Gifts. And with your blessing, I want to present someone who I think would be the perfect candidate to take my place. My daughter, Ellen. I'm sending her up to visit Snow Falls incognito so she doesn't get any special treatment, but instead get some first-hand experience with our hometown and the wonderful people in it. I'd love for her to learn about the important things that started us off on the right track. Tradition. Friendship. And love. Because those are the most important things that we could ever give each other. Merry Christmas.
Uncle Zeke smiles at Ellen, and she strides forward to give him a teary-eyed hug.
Congratulations, honey. Couldn't happen to a finer young lady.
So that's why you stayed away? To let me get to know everyone?
And to let them get to know you. The real you. Without big old me and your pops getting in the way.
But I left. How did you know I'd come back?
We didn't know. We had faith you would. And I'm sure glad you did.
Let me tell you, nobody's gladder than me. Otherwise, I'd have made the trip for nothing.
Dad.
Come here.
I'm sorry I didn't deliver the Christmas letter myself.
Oh, honey, you've nothing to apologize for. First of all, you couldn't have delivered it, even if you've tried. I pulled a bit of a fast one and sent it on ahead to Zeke myself. Just so he'd know what was going on, you know.
Why don't you guys just call each other?
Because we've recorded every single important step in our lives in those Christmas letters. And this is one very important step.
Besides, delivering the letter wasn't the real test. Real test, for you, was winning over all these wonderful folks. And win them over, you did.
Anyone who can get me to donate free product is a pro.
Hey, Dad, I want to show you the auction.
Yeah.
They're all from local shops. They're one-of-a-kind gifts, really beautiful stuff.
Wow. You did this.
I did. I was thinking next year maybe we could do some sort of special collection of one-of-a-kind gifts from the town where it all began. Maybe call it With Love from Snow Falls.
That's an excellent idea, Ms. Chief Executive Officer. But let's talk about work tomorrow morning. It's Christmas Eve.
Ellen looks over and catches Debbie's gaze. Debbie shrugs her shoulders nervously.
I think someone wants to see you.
Excuse me.
Ellen smiles as her father walks up to Debbie.
Debbie calls.
The two of them laugh and hug each other. Ellen searches the crowd, and her smile fades.
Hey, folks. So I promised you all a very special guest, and here she is to sing a very special song, our very own Debbie Collins.
Thank you all so much. Oh, you're all so sweet. I haven't done this in a few years, but it is Christmas, so here we go.
Jake sneaks up behind Ellen.
Excuse me. Now, I know you're a famous, or should I say infamous, party heiress, but would you perhaps do a local boy the honor of a Christmas dance?
The honor's all mine.
He nods his head with a smile and takes her hand. Uncle Zeke gives Baxter a warm handshake, and Mr. Langford sits next to the police officer engaged in conversation. Jake and Ellen take to the dance floor and begin a slow dance together. Shepherds pray at the side. They stare affectionately into each other's eyes, and Ellen smiles. They lean in and kiss each other in the middle of the dance floor. The other guests dance around them as they continue to kiss passionately. A set of balloons passes in front of them. Starring Eliza Taylor, Jake Lacey, Michael Xavier, Neil Crone, Anthony Sherwood, Joanna Douglas, Martin Roach, and Andy McDowell. Casting by Melissa Delizia, Jason Knight, John Buchan. Costume designer, Margaret Moore. Music by Terry Frewer. Edited by Gordon McClellan. Director of photography, Peter Bennison. Associate producer, Vince Balzano. Produced by David Anselmo. Co-executive producer, Mickey Gooch. Executive producers, Amanda Phillips-Atkins, Amy Krell, Eric Jarbo, Jimmy Townsend, Brad Crevoy. Written by Dina Eng. Directed by Ernie Barbarash. Assistant production manager, Kelly Gilbert. Post-production supervisor, W. Michael Beard. Art director, Andrea Kristoff. First Assistant Art Director, Stuart Pierce. Second Assistant Art Director, Sarah Zanin. Art Department Trainee, Chelsea Bourget. Set Decorator, Mark Kowalski. Lead Set Dresser, Dave White. Second Lead Set Dresser, Kate Redmond. Set Dressers, Andrew Sauka. Property Master, Keith Curry. Assistant Property Master, Emma Lees. First Assistant Editors, Paul T. Brooks, Ryan Kovac. Sound Editorial by Parachute Post Production. Supervising Sound Editor, Alan Fung. Dialogue Editor, Jeff Raffin. ADR Editor, Jesse Gillingham. Sound Effects Editor, Adam Rowley. First Assistant Sound Editor, Melissa Hinton. Foley Artist, Kaylee Bell. Foley Recording Engineer, Dave Mercel. ADR Recordist, Dave Fritz. Loop Group Performers, Shauna Black, Emily Herson, Maria Ricosa, Mike Shara, David Storch. ADR Recording Facilities, Technicolor Toronto, Larson Studios Hollywood, Technicolor Postworks, New York. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.